chapter 16. He commissioned me. Ezekiel 3, verses 10 and 11. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart, and hear with thine ears. And go, get thee to them of captivity, unto the children of thy people, and speak unto them, and tell them, Thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear, or whether they will forbear. In Webster's New Standard Dictionary, the word commission has these meanings. First, a formal written warrant, granting the power to perform various acts or duties. Also, a certificate conferring military rank and authority, also the rank and authority so conferred. Second, an authorization or command to act in a prescribed manner to perform prescribed acts or a charge. Third, the authority to act for or in behalf of or in place of another, a task or matter entrusted to one as an agent for another. Fourth, a government agency having administrative, legislative, or judicial powers, a city council, an act of entrusting or giving authority. A commissioned officer is an officer of the armed forces holding a certain level or rank of authority, a lieutenant, a captain, a colonel, or a general. Are commissioned officers, each one with ascending levels of authority. There are also many officers that are non-commissioned, and their position of authority is below that rank of men who bear a commission. The lower-ranking men, first-class privates, or various levels of sergeants, are called non-coms, or non-commissioned, in the Army. A man who has completed all his medical studies for a doctorate in medicine and has received his medical degree, still does not have his license and cannot practice medicine. Regardless of how smart he is, how well he studied, or what fine marks he made in school, he first has to pass the state exam. Only when he has passed that exam will he receive his license from the state to practice medicine. That license is his authority, his commission given him by the state empowering him to practice medicine on the public. Obviously, the state does not grant that commission before the student's preparation is completed and the state exam has been passed. The reason there are many non-coms in other careers as well as the Army is that the non-coms have not sufficient preparation for the authority to grant them any official commission. That same principle is true in the Church of God as well as in the Army or industry. Many good ministers are working without the power of God supporting their efforts. They have not yet received their commission. And the inhabitants of the unseen world are well aware of that fact. They may use the same words as the finest prophets, sing the same revival songs, practice to perfection the same rituals, but they are without the divine commission. The Holy Spirit of God is not supporting or endorsing their works. God has not as yet given to them the power or authority to do what they may be attempting to do. In the book of Acts, Jesus said in the first chapter and the eighth verse, You shall receive power, authority power, after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And then again it is written, in the same book of Acts, the 19th chapter, the 13th to 16th verse, then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon themselves to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. And there are seven sons of one, Siva, a Jew, a chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirits were leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. Empowered. A powerful revival was taking place in a certain city. God was doing tremendous miracles of healing through the ministry of the late Dr. Charles S. Price. One evening, Dr. Price came early to the service and heard quite a stir as people were praying at the front of the auditorium. Approaching nearer, he saw about 50 or 60 people, including several ministers, gathered around a partially paralyzed woman in a wheelchair. They were shouting and praying and talking in tongues and commanding the woman to rise and walk in the name of Jesus. But nothing was happening. Dr. Price approached this commotion and asked what the matter was about, and they answered they were trying to get her healed. Dr. Price approached the paralyzed woman, looked at her and asked, Sister, do you believe that Jesus Christ can heal you? She crookedly looked up at him, the best she could, smiled and answered, Yes, I do. Then he quietly took her hand and said, Well then, in the name of Jesus, rise and walk. And immediately the power of God flowed into her poor, twisted, useless body, and she did exactly what he told her to do. She rose and walked all over that auditorium. With all their best intentions and finest efforts, nothing happened until the man with the divine authority spoke those words. Whether it be an engineer or an architect, a medical doctor or a lawyer, before any one of them is allowed to practice on the public, they have to have a license. They have to be given state authority. Authority does not come from one's own self. It is delegated. It comes from an authority higher than the person himself. No authority is self-given. Authority must be granted from a still higher authority, and to receive authority, one must also act under that authority. Equally, it is true that a man who is commissioned by God must be working under divine orders for a specific task. God only, not a Bible school, not a church board of elders, can grant the divine authority of the sacred commission to a man. Not only is that true, but only the authority granted by God will ever be recognized by the powerful inhabitants of the higher spheres. The lieutenant, or the centurion, in the Roman army that spoke to Jesus, as recorded in Luke chapter 7 and verse 8, said, For I also am a man under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, Go, and he goeth. And to another, Come, and he cometh. And to my servant, Do this, and he doeth it. In the vision, Ezekiel was shown the type and difficulty of the training he must pass through before he could fulfill the specific charge and the commission given to him. Few people indeed receive a commission from God before the age of 35. Before that, it will be mostly training, preparation, and still more training, both by men and God. History shines with the stories of men and women who have received their commission from God. Moses was trained 40 years by the palace tutors and tutored 40 years more in a desert school of experience. Then he met God at the burning bush, and there he was given his commission. Moses stood on holy ground and heard the voice of God charging him with a mission and left that place where he talked with God, a changed man. He walked away from that spot on the mountainside, a man with a vision, a man with a purpose, a man under divine authority. Before that, when he knew that he was called to do, he had tried to fulfill his calling and ended up as only a frustrated, frightened man that had failed. He did his best the only way he knew how and was a complete failure. Many years later, after the preparation was fully over, came the commissioning of God, which included the necessary power and authority. Jesus, in his last discourse to his disciples, said, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and under the uttermost part of the earth." That's in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." The word power, or dunamin in Greek, has incorporated within it three meanings: origin, authority, and energy. The first miracle that took place after the day of Pentecost was when Peter and John were going into the temple and met a crippled beggar crying out for alms. Then, according to Acts chapter 3, verse 6, Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Peter replied, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I have. That assertion indicated that the origin of power was in Peter himself. He did not say, "What I can go and get," or "What I can beseech heaven for," or even "What I can procure in some manner." But he did say, "What I have, I give unto you." And in that statement, Peter indicated that he possessed the authority to grant the power of healing. Peter did not ask for any person outside of himself, nor say, "Wait here while I get the rest of the disciples. We will fast and pray for you." Peter spoke in the assurance of possession when he said, "Give I thee. Rise and walk." And when Peter spoke that word, there came the release of life flow of divine energy, and the man rose up, restored to health, and walked and leaped and praised God. Peter had been commissioned and therefore empowered to fulfill his commission. He received his apostolic commission and his specific empowering when the Holy Ghost came upon him on the day of Pentecost. Many Christian ministers do not take the time and effort to tarry in Jerusalem and develop in God until they are given their commission. all the disciples, even Judas. Jesus sent out to preach repentance and the kingdom of God and to work miracles before the day of Pentecost. But there was no commissioning into apostleship until after the Holy Spirit had come to build the church. When a man in the United States Navy that has gone through all preparation, he is then granted his commission and is made a lieutenant and given charge of, for instance, a submarine. He is the captain of it and top authority in that submarine. However, his authority does not carry over to the next submarine at the dock or the battleship over his head. His authority is on his own submarine. That authority will not have to be enforced by club or by chains. The insignia on his shoulder is enough, because it is the sign of the authority conferred by the highest office in the country. When God commissions a man, it is divine. It will not be revoked, and no other power is able to come against it. All heaven will uphold and support it. In the realm of the Spirit, all spiritual beings recognize divine authority very thoroughly. They know very well who is who in the divine scale of rankings. To be commissioned is a tremendous empowering. Would to God there were 10,000s more that would get out of the non-com area and become commissioned of God. Men that are both under and with divine orders. Men cannot grant the divine commissioning. Man can make and fill positions, but he cannot give the commissioning. He can set one in a place, and he might be successful or unsuccessful in that place, but that does not constitute a commission nor grant divine authority. Commissioned ones. The late Sam Sasser was called the Apostle to the Marshall Islands. Sent there by God, he had a wonderful empathy with those native islanders. Just mention the name of Sam Sasser in a church in those islands, and every face will light up. God used him greatly. Many churches had real revival as God moved through him in the Marshall Islands. The United States Navy chose out a certain island of the Marshall Group where they were going to make offshore atom bomb tests, and they wanted all the Americans off the island. They gave orders that all Americans were to leave. Sam Sasser and his family were on that island at that time. The Navy brought their ship to offload every American on that island. Sam loaded all of his stuff onto the boat. His wife and children were on the boat. When suddenly he said to himself as he walked up that gangplank, "I just cannot leave here. My work is not done, and I know it." He turned, ran off the gangplank, and into the jungle to hide. He was there 9 months while the Navy hunted him, and the islanders hid him. The Navy was furious because it delayed their plan 9 months. Finally, when he felt his work was through, he gave himself up, and they clapped him in chains immediately. Took him over to Guam and put him in jail. Over 100 chiefs of those islands got together and wrote a letter to the UN. And they said in this letter, "You have set off your atom bombs in our islands, and we did not complain. Some of our people have been killed, and we did not complain. You took us away from our homes, and we have not yet been able to go back, and we did not complain. You completely changed our lives, and we did not complain. And now, a man comes to us who loves us and brings us a message and blessing of God, and you take him away from us. Give us back Sam Sasser, or we'll make an official complaint to the United Nations for all the hurt and damage you have done to us and to our island homes. Immediately, Sam Sasser was released from prison, and to the day of his death was VIP with the Army and Navy. When that many chiefs of all those islands get together to support a missionary, you know something wonderful had happened. He was a man commissioned of God, and God sent him there. Hudson Taylor was commissioned of God for China. He went there and lived with and dressed like the Chinese, grew a queue like the Chinese, and ate the same food as the Chinese. Yet he never had a sick day. Before God relieved him of his commission and called him up higher, over 600 missionaries were working in China under his supervision. He told of the day when, desperate and ill, he received the divine orders, and from then on, there was a continual prospering of his efforts in the land of China. George Mueller was commissioned to take care of the orphan children of his own people, of his own language, in his hometown, Bristol, England. His story is an amazing chronicle of countless miracles of daily provision for the complete care of hundreds of children. The innumerable answers of prayer for food, shelter, finances are a famous record of mercy, grace, faith, and power. Amy Carmichael, a missionary in India, was commissioned to save hundreds of children from a life of horror and shame in the idol temples of India. In the first 2 or 3 years, as she tried to fulfill her orders, her colleagues criticized her mercilessly. "Why are you not out evangelizing the Indians? You are just sitting there taking care of 2 or 3 little children." But she was a commissioned woman of God. In the course of time, thousands of children were rescued, and she had more influence for good and God in southern India than any other individual, including all the missionaries that formerly were so disparaging and judgmental of what she was doing. William Booth was a man with a commission for the down and out people, the drunkards and the harlots abiding in the slums of London. Every member of his family entered his courageous army in the days when it was persecuted without restraint by the dignified folk of London. Yet his small army grew into a worldwide channel of help and blessing to the thousands of the hurting and desperate, poor and needy. Praying Hyde, a man commissioned by God to reach the throne of grace from the floor of his closet and intercede according to the directions of the Holy Spirit. A book is written concerning the wondrous victories and outstanding miracles that proceeded in a steady stream from his closet. People wrote to him from all over the world seeking his prayers and intercession before the throne of God. The divine commissioning may be for any task in any place. There was a Moravian by the name of Dover. He was commissioned by God to minister to the slaves in the West Indian Islands. However, there was only one way he could enter that island and fulfill his commission, and that was to sell himself as a common white slave to the slaveholding company. And that was exactly what he did. He became an ordinary slave with no special treatment, food, or lodging. However, St. Thomas Island today is a Christian island because Mr. Dover went there as a slave, yet one of God's commissioned ones. At first, the owners gave him much persecution and would not let the slaves go to his meetings. But God gave him favor with the slaves. Slowly, the slave owners realized that if the slaves attended Dover's services, they became peaceable, hard-working slaves, and gave them no more trouble. Finally, all the slave owners turned in favor of the gospel and themselves began to attend the church, and in time, thousands of the islanders were converted, so that it changed the whole aspect of the island. Without me, you can do nothing. Although a man may have natural giftings and an exceptionally sweet and engaging smile, a winning personality, a keen mind, and strength of character. Still, he cannot work the works of God without divine authorization. Natural giftings and abilities can, at best, only do the works of man. The task is far too great for the non-coms to fulfill with only the help of his natural giftings and talents. There is even the danger of deceit and hypocrisy in a sweet smile. Saccharin is sweet, but is man-made and without any food value. The commission was shown to Ezekiel near the end of his preparation. God had shown him in vision all the difficult preparation he would have to pass through before God gave to him the divine enablings and command. "Son of man," came the words, "all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thy heart and hear with thine ears." That command let Ezekiel know that he would not speak his own ideas or promulgate his own peculiar doctrine, or manufacture his own sermons, or entertain with religious essays. "You are going to do it my way," God said to him. "Go, get thee to them of the captivity, and unto the children of thy own people." God ordained him to go to a specific people, and even a specific portion of that people. Not to all the Jews, because many of them were in Jerusalem, and not in captivity. "Tell them, thus saith the Lord God," whether they would hear or whether they would refuse to hear. That had nothing to do with his orders. Four categories. In the Gospel of St. Luke, and in chapter 12, verses 42 to 48, Jesus in parable spoke of his servants and classified them into four different classes of acceptability. And I quote, "And the Lord said, Who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find him so doing. Of a truth, I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But, and if that servant say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the menservants and maidens, and to eat and drink, and be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not, and did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more." Jesus classified them as the acceptable servant that pleased his master, that disobedient servant who angered his master, and was rejected as incorrigible and dismissed from service, the servant that was severely punished for his faults, and the ignored servant that should have known better and was punished lightly. The main fault of the servant beaten with many stripes was that he knew his Lord's will, but he did not prepare himself to be able to fulfill that will. He was never given a commission. He should have. He had the calling, the direction, and no doubt had some of the training, but he never received the commission. For this serious lack of proper preparation, he was beaten with many stripes. He never attained the divine authority a commission would have given him, and therefore could not fulfill his orders. When God commissions a man saying, "Go ye and do that," he also gives the power and authority to do it. That does not mean there will not be opposition, but it does mean that there will be divine strength, grace, and power given him to fulfill his orders in spite of any opposition. John Wesley many times had to face a wild, rioting crowd. They would come at him with sticks and stones, literally attempting to kill him with their hatred. More than once he was hit by flying stones and other debris. He delighted in facing them and watching that divine authority of the presence of the Holy Spirit that suddenly would come over the crowd. That solemn, holy presence would arrest them, and before they knew what was happening, they were dropping their sticks and stones and falling down and crying, "God, have mercy on me!" Time after time, that divine authority, when turned loose, would stop the rowdy, angry crowd. They could not stand up against it. The fierce, maddened ruffians would stop in their tracks. Many times when they were rioting, he would go out and face them, and as soon as his words could be heard, it was just like a blanket was thrown on them because he had an authority they could not resist. They even said that if they could just stop his mouth, they could then give him a beating. In the Church of God, there are men with that authority, with that empowering, with that divine anointing. It is more than just helping the poor and blessing the needy. There are many non-coms in an army. No army could operate without them. But an army without commissioned officers is doomed to defeat and failure. The Church needs many more men that God has commissioned, men who have orders, and who know that they have been commissioned and know what they have to do and then do it in the power of the Lord.